And today, as we are going to be installing two new elders into ministry and leadership here at the church at Meadow Lake, I'm going to give these two men and the rest of our church family a great and solemn charge before God, a call for action and response by the church based on one life-changing statement of biblical truth. And it is this: a holy church is worth any price. A holy church, a healthy, God-glorifying local church is worth any price. Now, you may be disagreeing with me already in your mind, but I hope to show you from the Scripture that this is indeed true. And if it is true, then our lives must show it. So if we look in Ephesians 5, and we see a short, power-packed glimpse of the purpose of the church, let's read this together, beginning in verse 25 down to verse 27. Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." That is the inerrant, inspired, unchanging word of God. Would you pray with me quickly? Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves before your word, before you, your voice, your teaching. And we ask you, God, to speak to us in this place today. Open our eyes to see the glory of what you're doing in the earth through your church. We worship you. Give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Ephesians 5, Paul is teaching husbands and wives how they are to relate to each other. And he does something unexpected and beautiful. Paul teaches us that marriage is not an end in itself. Marriage is not really about marriage. Unexpected, right? If you're talking about marriage. What he tells us is that marriage is a picture that points to something bigger than marriage. Marriage is a small glimpse, a taste of something more beautiful, more glorious. Paul is saying that marriage is a picture of Jesus and the church coming together in love. That's why marriage is so important. Some say marriage is just a piece of paper. The Bible does not teach that. Marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman before God, and it has a purpose that's bigger than the man and the woman. Marriage is a picture to show the world that God sent His Son to collect a bride, a people, a church, and they will be joined together in love forever. That's why marriage is so important, and that's why it's so hard. That's why marriage is difficult. That's why marriage is under attack. From ourselves. I mean, our own flesh gets in the way. We don't want to humble ourselves and put our spouse before ourselves. We're sinners. We're sinful. We're selfish. But God is calling us in marriage to go beyond that. And even our culture attacks even the idea of marriage. But marriage is a glorious picture of Christ in the church. Paul writes here, we learn that husbands are called to do what? To love their wives as Christ loved the church. And how did Jesus show that love for His church, guys? Says it right there in the text. He gave Himself up for her. Wow. Who did Jesus give Himself up for? What does the text say? The church. Who was Jesus dying on the cross for, shedding His blood for? Who was He thinking about? His church. Everybody who was ever going to believe the gospel. All the Christians from every time and place. Jesus was dying for His church. Here's another question. Why? Why? Why did Jesus submit to that violent attack upon Himself? Why did He humble Himself to shed His life blood for the church? Why did He bear God's wrath that should have come on you and me for our sins? Why did Jesus take that wrath from God at the cross? The answer is given to us in these three verses here. He did it so that He could sanctify the church, to make her holy and clean and pleasing to Him. And did you notice? This is so beautiful. Look there in verse 27. So that He might present the church to Himself in splendor. Do you see that? The reason Jesus is dying on the cross, He came down from heaven to rescue His wife. He came down to rescue His bride because He wanted her. He wants her still. Jesus is working in the church today all over the earth. Why? Where's all this going? In heaven, Jesus is going to have a people presented to Him. It says that He might present the church to Himself. God wants to enjoy us forever, and He wants us to enjoy Him forever. Guys, this is really, if you see this, this is life-changing. This is the goal of history. This is the purpose of God, and it's the meaning of human life. This is why you are breathing today, because of this glorious purpose of God in the earth. Whatever is going on in your life right now is somehow related to this. This is why you're here. Some people don't know it. They're living with a blindfold on. They're just kind of stumbling through life without a purpose. Or maybe their purpose they've adopted for themselves is to get as much money as they can before they die. To live it up. Pleasures, comforts, power. Or even, you know, to do good things in the earth. You know, to whatever it is, this is why we were created. And this is why Jesus came. Jesus is building a holy church in the earth that He will enjoy fellowship with forever and ever. This is the purpose for why you are here. And this is the purpose for why we here at the church at Meadow Lake. This is why we're working in Conway. This is what we're about. This is why we are a church in a city that has lots of churches. We're here to do this. We're here to join Jesus in building a biblical, God-glorifying church that He's going to enjoy forever and ever. And that's why we can say this morning that a holy church is worth any price. Can I give you a few reasons from the Bible that a holy church is worth any price? Number one, it was worth it to God. How do we know that a holy church is worth any price? It was worth it to God. How do we know it was worth it to God? What did God pay? What did God give to build a holy church in this earth? He gave His Son. He gave His best. For God so loved that He gave. Amen? The Father, to Him, it was worth it to build a holy church. He gave His all. He gave His best. He gave His Son. That's why the Bible can say in Romans 3:25 that God put forward Jesus as a wrath-removing sacrifice for us. God put His Son forward. Some people think that, you know, God was angry with us and He didn't like us. He just wanted to send us to hell, but Jesus stepped in and said, I'll do it, God. I'll do it, Father. I'll go save them. And He's like, okay, I guess. But that's not what the Bible teaches. God Himself put His Son forward as our sacrifice. The Father loves us, and He gave His Son. It's worth any price. He gave His all. Romans 5:8 says that God shows His love for us. How? How does God show His love for us? In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How do you know that God loves you? It's not because your life is going blessed, you know, and your bills are paid and you're healthy. That's not how you know God loves you. You know He loves you because He gave His Son to the cross for you, and that will never change. No hardships you go through will change what the Father did for you in giving His Son at the cross. I think the verse that says it best is Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Wow. He didn't spare His own Son when He thought about a holy church that He's building in the earth. Worth it to Him. Worth it to Him. Guys, sin is when we think God is holding back from us. You know, God's got some blessings up there, and He's mean, and He's not giving them to me. That's the essence of sin. That's what the snake told Eve in the garden. I mean, here God has given them every fruit tree in the garden. Hey, pig out, man. Feast. I mean, we could name all the fruits, you know. At the top of my list is the mango tree. You've got some favorites, I'm sure. But there's one tree, God said, don't touch that one. The day you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. Here comes the serpent. Oh, did God say you can't eat of the trees of the garden? Eve had a little bit of truth going on. No, just this one. We can eat of all the trees, but not touch this one. And what did the serpent do? He got her to question God's love for her, God's motivation. God just knows that on the day you eat that, you'll be like Him. God is holding back from you, Eve. He's got these good things over here. He doesn't want you to have them. Okay, I'm going to take them. And here we are today. Right? But what does the Bible say here in Romans 8:32? Is God holding out on you? No, He didn't spare His own Son, but freely gave Him up for us. Brothers and sisters, He is not holding out on you. If there is a blessing that you think you want, and He's not giving it to you, guess what? He sees a little farther down the road than we do. There is a good reason He withholds things. He is not holding out on us. He freely gave His Son. Wow. It was worth it to God to build a holy church for His own glory. It was worth the price of His Son. Even in heaven, they are singing about this. John, when he saw the vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, he heard them singing to the Lamb. Listen to what they're saying. Revelation 5:9. For you were slain. You were killed on the cross. And by your blood you did what, Jesus? You ransomed people for God. From every tribe and tongue, nation. This is what God is doing in the earth. He gave His Son to purchase a holy church. Praise God. This is the church. And that's why in Ephesians 3:21 it says, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Why is a holy church worth any price? It was worth it to God. Number two, it was worth it to Jesus. It was worth it to God. He gave His Son. It was worth it to Jesus. What did He give? We've already seen in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave what? Paid what? He gave Himself up for her. God loved us and gave His Son. Jesus loved us and gave His life, Himself, all that He could give to build a holy church for Himself. Titus 2:14 says it this way. Says Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. It was worth it to Jesus. He held nothing back, but freely, generously gave everything He had. Are you seeing it yet this morning? A holy church is worth any price. It was worth it to God. He gave His Son. It was worth it to Jesus. He gave Himself. But let me take you to number three. It was worth it to the apostles and the early church. You see, this beautiful vision of a holy church in this world, it's not just a vision that God alone can see and understand. God opens our eyes and changes our hearts so that we too can see the value of what God is building in the earth. God is opening people's eyes to see how glorious this church in the earth is that God is building. When Jesus died and rose again, He sent out His disciples, led by the apostles, on this great church building mission. Listen to me. The apostles saw the glory of what they were building. Listen to me. The apostles saw the glory of the church they were building, and they were willing to sacrifice everything to join God, to join Jesus in building a holy church for His glory. Have you ever considered what it cost the apostles to build the church? These men, they were willing to give all. They sacrificed and they suffered. They loved and they labored. They poured themselves out to build a holy church for the Lord. It was worth it to them. Let me show you some scriptures here. Now listen, you can relate to this because these are men like us, people, humans, sinners. And yet God showed them how glorious this vision of the church is. Paul wrote to Timothy about his sufferings in 2 Timothy 2:10. He said, I endure everything for Jesus. No, for God. No, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. He was writing this from prison. I endure everything for the sake of the elect. That is God's people, the church. That they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Do you see that? Some people today would say, well, yeah, maybe I would suffer for God, but man, I'm not suffering anything for the church. These bunch of hypocrites and knuckleheads. People have hurt me in the church. People have looked at me wrong. They've said wrong things, or they didn't acknowledge what I was doing over here, and I got hurt and I left the church. That is not the attitude that God has about the church. That is not the attitude Jesus has about His church. And that's not the attitude men and women in the Scripture had about the church. Yeah, we get hurt and we look right past the people who hurt us to the Lord. It's for Him and His glory, is it not? And so, Paul could say that I'm willing to suffer everything for the church. Let me show you another Scripture. He wrote this to the Corinthians. You guys know the Corinthians, right? You know, it may not be a stretch to say, in our eyes, that's the worst church Paul planted. They had problems. Those guys were taking each other to court. They were bragging and fighting and dividing their church over which preacher was their favorite. Oh, we don't fight like that today, though. That got fixed back then. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They were visiting prostitutes. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's not even all of their issues. But Paul didn't give up on the church. He wrote to them, those guys. Here's what he said. I don't know if you've ever seen this phrase in the Bible before, but I want it to hit you today like a brick in the spirit. All right, listen to this. Paul said, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Now notice that 2 Corinthians. That's after 1 Corinthians when they had all those troubles. They already got the problems. And what did Paul say? I'm done with you, guys. You're hopeless. He said, I will spend anything I have for you. I will even be spent for you, the worst church I have. Most sinful bunch of knuckleheads I got. He said, I will gladly, not begrudgingly, gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Man, as I was studying this yesterday, I almost went up. I almost just got taken to glory. Just seeing God loves us, He gave His Son. Jesus loves us, He gave Himself. The apostles gave everything. Willing to spend and be spent. Why? Because a holy church is worth any price. Paul even listed his sufferings one day. That building the church cost him. You can look this up in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28. Can I just read a few of these to you? Here's what it cost Paul and other apostles like him to build a holy church for the Lord. He said, labors. It cost him labors, imprisonments. Yes, that's plural. He was in jail for preaching for Jesus on several occasions. Paul writes, countless beatings. Countless beatings for the gospel, for the church, for Christ. He lost count of how many times people beat him for the Lord. Often near death. 5 times he received the 39 lashes. 5 times he received that. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Pelted with rocks until they thought he was dead and went home. That had to hurt. Shipwrecked. 3 times. I've often commented on this verse, man. I think one shipwreck is enough for anybody in a lifetime. I mean, 2, okay. Paul was shipwrecked 3 times traveling for building the church. He says frequent journeys, danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from both Jews and Gentiles, danger in the city. I mean, danger is his middle name here, isn't it? Danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship, sleepless nights for the church, hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Picture Paul trembling with cold as he sat in a dungeon for the church. And then he tops it all off. And the daily pressure of my anxiety for all the churches. I'm praying about them. I'm worrying about them. I'm hoping all the churches are obeying and following the Lord. Why? Why did this man leave his life of comfort to willingly embrace this life of suffering? Because a holy church is worth any price, brothers and sisters. The Lord is worth it. And what He is building is worth it. Do you see it this morning? Paul wanted to pass this on to the elders of the churches. When he was at Ephesus, he stopped and got off the ship. And there on the beach, he met with the elders of the Ephesian church. In Acts 20, he gave them this charge. In verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. Paul wanted these local church leaders to understand the great value of what they were building in the eyes of God. He purchased the church with Christ's blood, so shepherd it well. I could say this to the two men that we're going to be laying hands on in a few moments this morning. Christ purchased the church with His own blood, so shepherd it well. But I could say that to each one of us about our own involvement in the church. Do you see this vision that's just pounding, resonating before us this morning? A holy church is worth any price. It was worth it to God. He gave His Son. It was worth it to Jesus. He gave Himself. It was even worth it to the apostles. They gave their lives to build the church. And so it's time to ask the question this morning. The question that explodes like a bolt of lightning to us now is it worth it to us? Do we see the beauty and the glory of what God is doing in the earth? What Christ is building for His glory among us? Do we understand that we have been saved from our sins so that we can join God in building His church? What are we willing to give for His great gospel cause? Church, what price are we willing to pay? Some people don't see any beauty or glory in the church today. They're blind to it. I've shown you from the Scriptures already. It's what God loves. It's what Jesus loved. It's what the apostles loved. And what are we doing? Some of us, we can't even get out of bed and come to it. Some of us were not willing to pay anything, to be inconvenienced, to give of our time. What price are we willing to pay? Yes, it's true, the church doesn't look too glorious now. And if you look with the eyes of the flesh, these two eyes that you have in your head, you're going to see some people who are still imperfect. You're going to see some flaws. You know, if you want to find faults with the church, you will find them, whatever church you are in. Because we're not in heaven yet. We're not in perfect glorified bodies yet. And we still stumble and we still fall. But one day, Jesus is coming back for His church. And He's going to transform us and give us new bodies that won't get sick and won't get tired. That won't die. Jesus said we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. In that day, when every knee bows to Jesus and every tongue confesses that He's Lord, every eye is going to see the glory of His church. Man, she's going to be beautiful on that day. If you want to see the beauty of the church now, you've got to look with the eyes of faith. You've got to trust what God says in this book. Don't look at the faults. Don't look at the people who did you wrong. Look at the Word of God and believe Him. His church is glorious. And in that day, if you read in Revelation 21, verses 9 through 11, the angel told John, come and let me show you the bride of the Lamb. Come and let me show you the wife of Jesus, the church. And he looked and he saw the holy city of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband, having the glory of God. That is the beauty the church is going to have in that day. Until that day, you and I are called to give our everything, to join God, to join Jesus, yes, to join those who have gone before us, the apostles and early church before us, to join these in building a holy church. And it's worth any price. The Word of God calls out to you and I this morning. Jesus' call in Luke 9:23. We can't escape this call. He said, if any would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You say, I want to follow Jesus. Follow him where? What is Jesus doing in the earth? Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. Are you following Jesus? I'll tell you what Jesus is doing in the earth. He's building a holy church. Are you following Him in that? Or are you taking the life that God has entrusted to you, the breaths that He's given to you? And by the way, God knows the number of breaths that He's entrusted to you. How many of your breaths have you used up already? We don't know the number, do we? This next one could be the last, or maybe we're halfway there. We don't know. But God has allotted to each one of us a number of breaths. Why? To live for His glory, to follow Him, to pour ourselves out in joining Jesus and building a holy church. It's worth any price. You say, well, isn't there something better in the earth to do with those breaths? Maybe we should go out of the church and work to end world hunger. You know, and yes, there's some worthy causes out there, but when I read the Bible, do you know what I see? God's plan is not a bunch of people, isolated individuals out here trying to end hunger and, you know, poverty. God's plan in the Scriptures is the local church. The local church being holy together. Living out their faith together. Keeping each other from stumbling into sin. Going after each other when we stray. Loving each other. Taking care of each other. Speaking the truth to each other. And yes, shining our light in our community. And so God's plan to change the world is one holy local church at a time. If you want to change the world, give yourself to a local church. Pour yourself out for an imperfect group of people. Give them about 80 years and be forgiving when they hurt you. Love them. Go after them. It is not a wasted life to give yourself to a local church. I believe that with all my heart. I had to figure out that when I was young. I had a lot of passion and a lot of zeal. I had to figure out, am I going to give my life to music? Or am I going to go into world missions? Or am I going to teach the Bible in a local church? And when I looked at the scriptures, I was like, I'll do all of that I can. But what I see is, it is not a waste of my life to pour myself out for a group of people. A small local church. To just give myself to them. That's what I live for, guys. For the glory of God and a local people. That's why I get out of bed in the morning. And it's not me. It's not any good in me. It's the grace of God. But what I'm saying this morning is God has a plan for you as well. It's not just for preachers and pastors. Amen? All Christians are called to see the glory of Jesus and the glory of that church that He's going to be with forever and to invest yourself and pour yourself out for the glory of God in the church. John the Apostle said it this way, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Who are the brothers? He's talking about the church. Christians. The believers somewhere. We are called to treat others the way God has treated us. He died for us. Jesus did. And so we are laying down our lives for each other. Every Christian has a gift. Peter says this. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another in order that in everything God may be glorified. Brothers and sisters, I want to share an illustration with you. This is one that my pastor, Terry Simpson, who discipled me, he used to tell this all the time. Some of you guys have probably heard it 1,000 times. It stuck with me. And it's about the perspective that we have of what we're doing. What are we doing? And the short version of the story is this. There's three men, and they're building. They're building, and they're all doing the same job. They're working with bricks and mortar, but their perspectives are different, okay? So an outsider comes, and he sees these three men working, and he goes to them one by one, and he just asks them the same question. What are you doing? So he comes to the first guy. And he says, what are you doing? The guy looks up and he's tired and he's worn out. And he's a little frustrated. And he said, I'm just putting mortar on bricks. Stacking bricks together. Okay. A little jaded, a little cynical. He's ready to be done. He goes to the next guy doing the same thing. He says, what are you doing? The guy says, I'm building a wall. I'm putting these bricks together. I'm making a wall. Okay. He goes to the third guy and he says the same question. What are you doing? The guy backs away from his work with a big smile on his face and he says, I am building a glorious cathedral, a place of worship. Man, people are going to gather here and they're going to worship God in this place. Can you see it? And you know, and he starts pointing out, over here there's going to be a tower and over here, and you know, the guy's just beaming and overflowing. All three men doing the same job. What was different? Their perspective. You know, this is people in the church. Some people have lost the idea of what we're doing here. And they're worn out. You know, they're just looking at the daily grind. The week in, week out, going to church, going home, getting the kids ready. You know, this life is hard. Yes, it is. And they've forgotten what we're building. Just putting bricks with mortar. They're focusing really on themselves, aren't they? This person hurt me. Work is not fun. They're looking at the rituals and just singing songs, hearing preaching. then there's other people in the church who are driven by the vision that we see in the Bible that I've been trying to convey to you this morning. The glory of what God is building in the earth. And these are the ones who get up every day and they preach the gospel to themselves. And in the middle of the trials and the hardships, they put Christ before their eyes and they worship Him. And they say, you know what? Jesus did this for the church and He calls me to follow Him. And so I'm going to get up today and I'm going to, for God's glory, for Jesus' glory, I'm going to love my brothers and sisters in the church. I'm going to spend some time praying for them today. I'm going to text a few of them and see how they're doing. I'm going to send some emails. I'm going to have lunch with one of them. I'm going to invite a family over for dinner this week. I'm going to try to get to know them better. I'm going to see what they're going through. I'm going to pour myself out for them. I'm going to mail them a card. I'm going to bring a meal. I'm going to make sure that when I see them in church, I can go up to them and say, hey, you know what you shared with me last week? I've been praying for you about that. How's that going? I'm going to use my gifts. I'm going to be faithful in my attendance. I'm going to support the church with my money and my time and my life because I have seen a glimpse of the glory of what we're building. It was worth it to God. He gave His Son. It was worth it to Jesus. He gave Himself. It was worth it to the apostles. They poured themselves out with sacrifice. What is it worth to us? What is our response this morning? Is the Lord refreshing you today with a renewed perspective? Do you see the vision? Is the Lord calling you? Is He speaking to your heart? We are endeavoring here to join Jesus in building a biblical church. A holy church. A people for His own possession. A God-glorifying church. A Christ-exalting church. A Bible-believing church. A gospel-saturated church that pleases the Lord. And I want to be honest with you. The prosperity gospel is a lie that says you come to Jesus and all your wildest dreams will come true and He'll make you rich and you'll never get sick if you have enough faith. That's not in the Bible. That's a twisting of Scripture. Here is the truth. If you come and take up your cross to follow Jesus, it is going to be hard. And God won't always spare you from the trials of this life. This will require hard work and sacrifice to build the church. It's going to require mutual love and commitment to each other. It's going to require faith-filled, sweaty labor in the Lord, dedication to Christ and to each other. It will require forgiving each other when we hurt each other. It will require the pursuit of unity in Christ when we disagree. It will require us to be inconvenienced, to be put out, to lay down our lives for the glorious King. It will cost us our money, our time, our gifts, our efforts, bathed in prayer, all for the glory of God. It may even require persecution, like it does for the Christians in Pakistan and Saudi Arabia and sections of India and other places around the world. Yes, it may cost you your life. But it's worth it. It's worth any price God asks us to pay. Brothers and sisters, we will never outgive God. Some of you this morning may have lost sight of the glory. Maybe you're doing absolutely nothing for the Lord and His church. What are you going to say when you stand before Him? Are you happy with the level of commitment that you're pouring out for Jesus' glory and His church? Good news. You can repent today. Maybe God is calling you to just do a little more. Not to earn salvation. Because He's already earned it for you at the cross. And you want to give your life as a thank you. Whatever the need is, whatever the Lord is impressing on your heart today, let's repent where it's needed and look afresh to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. What if you gave all? What if you gave all? Do you think you will regret that when you stand before the Lord? I want to close with a pastoral charge to the church and to these two men that we're about to lay hands on. I charge this church today to renew the vision in your heart, in each home. Renew the vision of building together a God-glorifying church in Conway, Arkansas. Put aside any issues you have with each other. Forgive each other. Love each other. Unite around Christ and His gospel and this vision of what we're doing together. I charge all of us to see the worth and give our all. And I charge these men that we are appointing to the office of elder today, give all for the glory of Christ in His church, because a holy church is worth any price. Maybe you're an unbeliever here today. Run to Jesus. He died for sinners on the cross. He stood in our place and bore the judgment of God for us, and He rose from the grave. Run to Him in faith. Confess to Him, I've not been living for Your glory. You created me to live for Your glory, and I have lived in sin. I've lived for myself. Fear God. You'll stand before Him one day and give an answer for how you've lived this life that He gave you. It's not too late right now. Turn from sin. Look to Christ. Believe. Trust in what He did at the cross, that it's enough for you. His blood is enough to wash all your sins away. You've not done so many sins that He can't save you. Yet, we're worse than we can even imagine. But His love is greater than we can imagine. It covers every sin and every stain. Give yourself to Him and become part of His glorious church. Would you pray with me?